And his mercy. Amen. My text this morning is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. Well, the subject and the title of my message this morning is this. It can happen to you. Right? Very simple title. It can happen to you. There are experiences that some people have and they've had which are quite extraordinary. And when sharing those experiences, sometimes people will say, oh, that could never happen to me. But I want to say this morning that I want to speak about certain experiences that can actually happen to you. The Bible tells us about the personal encounters of people that they had with God. Some personal encounters that individuals had with God and experiences that had an effect upon them and it changed them. And I would like to show you from the Word of God what took place in the lives of certain people and how that those experiences had an impact upon their lives. It is my belief that the life-changing experiences that some people had are available to all people regardless of nationality or age. We understand from 1 Samuel chapter 3 that Samuel was a very, very young boy when the Lord called him and when the Lord spoke to him and he eventually responded to the voice of God. We read further in the book of Samuel chapter 15 and the first of Samuel 15 about David. When David was called by God, David was only a youth. He was only young. So I want to say this morning that regardless of whatever age you are, of whatever nationality you are, or where you come from, I want to tell you that there are certain experiences that are recorded in the Bible that can actually happen to you. And although these experiences that I'm going to refer to go back almost 2,000 years, yet they are as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago, because our God is exactly the same today as he was yesterday, and he will never ever be any different than he's always been. And therefore, he is able to give people personal experiences, personal encounters that change and alter the course of their lives. And I want to say this morning that some of these experiences can actually happen to you if you haven't had them already. So my message this morning is first of all to those who haven't had what we term as the first experience, which I term as being conversion. Conversion. Conversion is something that can happen to you. When a person or material experiences a conversion, it means that it's changed. Many, many years ago, when this country went over to what we call natural gas, we used to have our gas from coal and coke. But when we changed over to North Sea gas, as they called it, our gas cooker had to be converted to take the new gas. And a man came and he converted it so that we could use it. And I want to say that for God to use you, you have to be converted. God can't use you unless you are converted. God has got to change you. God has got to alter you. God has got to make a difference in your life and change you so that he can use you. Otherwise, he cannot use you. But he wants to use you. And you must be available for him to use you, like our gas cooker was submissive to the gas fitter who came and he changed all the parts in it. So you must submit yourself to God for God to change the parts of your life so that he can use you. Now, conversion is a wonderful thing. In the New Testament, there are several words that are used that mean conversion. In John 3, when Jesus was speaking to a man named Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus said, "Well, how can a man be born again when he's old? Does he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "No, no, you must be born of the Spirit." And Jesus was talking about what we call the new birth. And so born again, new birth, converted means exactly the same thing. And then we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So saved is the same as the new birth. It's the same as born again. It's the same as converted. And then in the home of Zacchaeus, Jesus entered the home of Zacchaeus. And when he entered into Zacchaeus' home, he said, "Now is salvation come to this house." Now is salvation come to this house. So we find now there's another word which means exactly the same. Salvation. So salvation, conversion, born again, the new birth, they're all synonymous terms with one thing, and that is people's lives being changed so that God can take hold of them and God can use them. And God can use you. And so you this morning, if you've never been converted, if you've never been born again, if you've never experienced salvation, you can experience it this morning and you can be born again. You can be converted. Yes, it can actually happen to you. It happened to me, and I was only 9. But it happened to me, and God changed me. And God can change you, and it can happen to you even this morning. Now, in Acts chapter 9, we read there an amazing story of a man who was named Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. And he was someone who was persecuting the church, or he was persecuting all the new disciples of Jesus. And everywhere he went, he was persecuting Christians. And he became eventually a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The sequence of events that led up to his conversion from Judaism to Christianity is an amazing story to read, because Paul followed hard the Jews' religion, or Judaism, which was the religion of the Jews. But he was converted from Judaism to Christianity. And it happened on a road called Damascus, from Jerusalem to Syria. And on that road, he had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. A flashing light came down from heaven and a voice, and threw him from his horse, and he landed on the floor. And words came, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the words came back, "I am Jesus." Now, Paul knew all about Jesus. Paul was educated in Jerusalem at the feet of a man called Gamaliel. He was well educated and brought up in Jerusalem, so he knew all about Jesus. He knew all about the disciples of Jesus. And he knew that the Christian faith was the faith that was taking people to heaven, but he couldn't accept that. But on the Damascus road, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the words came back, "I am Jesus that you are persecuting. It's hard for you to do this." And then he responds and he submits himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "What will you have me to do?" And in that moment, his life was changed. And God is saying to you this morning, yes, you say to God, "What will you have me to do?" I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as your own personal savior, and you will actually experience conversion. You'll experience being born again, the new birth, salvation. That's what you'll experience this morning by coming to know Jesus as your own personal Saviour. It's remarkable, really, when you think about people who have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and know him as their own personal Saviour. Throughout our lives, we've ministered to people and preached, and people have responded and come to faith in Jesus Christ, and their lives have been dramatically changed and transformed by the power of Jesus. That's conversion. So I want to say this morning, has it happened to you? If it hasn't happened to you, let me tell you this morning, it can actually happen to you here and now in this service this morning, and you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can become a new creation, like our Bible text says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Now, what does it mean when it says, Jesus says, you must be born again? It means this: when you are born again, you start the history of your life. When a baby is born, you can't go to that baby and say, tell me a little bit about yourself. When Tryphena was a baby, it was no good Lynn going to her and saying to her, can you tell me how long you've had this talent of being a worship leader? History isn't there with a newborn baby. It's got no history. It's got genes, yes. But it's got no history. Begins to write its history once it begins to talk. Once it begins to walk. Once it begins to write. Once it begins to do things. That's when it begins to write its history. Now, when you are born again of the Spirit of God, your past is blotted out and you begin to write your new history of your life. So from that moment, you begin to write your history. And that's what it means to be born again. You are born again without a history. And you begin to write it in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So let me tell you this morning, it can happen to you. If it hasn't already. I hope it has. But if it hasn't, now is the time for you to receive Jesus as your own personal Saviour. So the first thing that can happen to you is conversion. The second thing that can happen to you is water baptism. Underneath this platform here, where the drums are, there is a tank, a water tank. And that water tank is to baptize people into the faith of Jesus Christ. It means being baptized in water, totally immersed. Now in Matthew chapter 3, it tells us of the occasion when Jesus went to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist didn't want to baptize him in water. And John the Baptist said, I can't do it. You're better than me, you're greater than me, you're mightier than me. But Jesus submitted himself to John the Baptist, and he was baptized in water. And following that, in Acts chapter 8, we read that Philip the evangelist went down to Samaria, and whilst he was there, God mightily used him in preaching the gospel in Samaria. And many, many people were saved. Many people were converted. And many, many people were eventually baptized. And regarding this man, Philip, the Lord moved him on from Samaria and to a desert place. Strange, really, that he's in the midst of a revival and suddenly God takes him to a desert place where there's nobody. And then suddenly he sees a chariot coming along the desert. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks into his heart and says, join yourself to this chariot. Yeah, sure. And when he goes and joins himself to the chariot, he finds that there's an Ethiopian eunuch who is reading the scriptures of Isaiah 53, and he couldn't understand it. But Philip could understand it because he knew Jesus. And so he expounds Isaiah 53 to him. And the Philippian The Ethiopian eunuch receives Jesus as his saviour, and they come to some water. And he says to Philip, "Here's water, what doth hinder me?" And he's baptized immediately in water. And there are other experiences in the New Testament. And when Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi because of their Christian faith, they preached the gospel, and a young woman who gained a lot of money for abusive men had them put into prison. And whilst they were in prison, at midnight they began to sing praises to God. They were in stocks, they were in chains, but it didn't make any difference. It wasn't going to stop them praising the Lord. Mm-hmm. So they praised the Lord, and there was an earthquake. Mm-hmm. The prison shook, the chains fell off, the stocks fell off, the doors fell off, the hinges, and the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself. And Paul said, "Don't do yourself any harm, we are all here." And he says he called for a light. That's wonderful. He called for a light. And then he said to Paul and Silas, he said, "What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And he was saved and all his house. And then they went from there, believe it or not, they went out of the prison and they were baptized in water. So it can happen to you. And if you are a Christian here this morning, you've experienced conversion. Yes, you've known the new birth. You started your new life. But you haven't yet been baptized in water. Baptism in water signifies burial and resurrection. Because you are buried and you are raised to new life in Christ. And so these experiences can be yours by receiving Jesus as your Savior. It starts with conversion. Then to baptism in water. I was only 12 when I was baptized in water, which contravened the laws at that time of the Apostolic Church, because you had to be 15. But because I'd been baptized in what we call the Holy Spirit, the pastor said there's no reason why he can't be baptized in water. So I was only 12, and it was a wonderful experience. My brother, who is in glory now, my brother Ron, used to use my conversion and my baptism experience to get me to do things. Because when we were in the house, he would say, "Put some coal on the fire." And I would say, "Put some coal on the fire yourself, big un." And he'd say, "Are you saved?" And he said, "Chop some sticks." "You chop the sticks." "Are you saved?" So he used to blackmail me all the time. And I used to respond because I was saved. And I want to say this morning, if you are not saved this morning, you can be saved. And you can be baptized if you haven't already been. And so, conversion, it can happen to you. Baptism, if it hasn't happened, it can happen to you. Thirdly, I want to refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there are three wonderful steps here. There is conversion, there is baptism, and there is baptism in what we call the Holy Spirit. That's marvellous. Mark 1 and verse 8 says, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit." Now Acts chapter 2 gives us an amazing story of the disciples who responded to the words of Jesus. For when Jesus ascended up into heaven, on Mount Olivet, he said to the disciples, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are endowed or you are received the Holy Spirit." And they went and they waited in Jerusalem. And they waited and they waited and they waited. And then one particular day as they were waiting, I don't know how many of them might have left the room because they were tired of waiting, but it was over 500 who saw Jesus ascend into heaven. But it was only 120 that were in that upper room. So some of them perhaps were impatient and left the room. But those 120 that were waiting in that room, suddenly there was a sound, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. It was the breath of God breathing upon them. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So they spoke in another language that they'd never ever learned in all of their lives. Now that's an important aspect of your Christian faith. Because speaking in unknown tongues edifies you personally. And not only that, God is his own interpreter. So when God gives you that language, he is the one who interprets that language, not any human being. He is the one who interprets it. And so when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, he gives you a new language to communicate with him. And following Philip's visit, as I mentioned earlier, to Samaria, a number of people were converted to Jesus. And at the same visit, Peter and James went down from Jerusalem and they laid hands upon those new Christians and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit just as they were on the day of Pentecost. Following that, Peter was on a housetop, fell asleep. And some men came from a man by the name of Cornelius and said, God has sent us to you because you are to come down to Cornelius's house because he's a man of Christian faith and he wants to hear from you. And Peter went down to this man's house and he began to preach Jesus to them. And as he preached Jesus to them, the Holy Spirit came on them just as on the day of Pentecost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yes, let me tell you this morning, it can happen to you. If it can happen to me, and God is no respecter of persons, it can happen to you. God doesn't single some out and say, you can have it, you can have it, you can have it, and you can't. God says everybody can have it, providing they are in a converted relationship and following after Jesus Christ. And then we read also in Ephesians, not Ephesians, when the Apostle Paul visited a place called Ephesus that he wrote a letter to, which was called the Ephesians. But whilst he was at this place called Ephesus, there were some disciples there, and Paul spoke to them and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We haven't even heard of such a thing as the Holy Spirit. We only know about the baptism in water, the baptism of John. And Paul prayed with them, laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came as on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit gave them languages to speak, and some of them even prophesied. So it can happen to you. And it's marvelous when you think about it that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer, not for some and not for others. And if it is that you have been seeking the Holy Spirit and you haven't received it yet, don't think for one moment that you are a second-class Christian to those who have been baptized in the Spirit. You are not. You're on the same level. And what some of us need to do is this. Some of us already have the Holy Spirit within us. What we need to do is breathe out and express the tongues, express the language, express the words that Jesus gives you. And you will never, ever regret it. And so, my little message to you and to us here this morning is this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What that means is this. There's an experience that can happen to you. It's called conversion. The new birth. Born again. Salvation. It can happen to you, water baptism. It can happen to you, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So this morning, Let me tell you, it can happen.
Yes.
It can happen to you. Thank you again, Lord, this morning. That we've just been able to speak about your word and from your word. Pray now, Lord, that you will have touched lives that are here. Touch lives and hearts here, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus. And just speak to people now.